All right, here we are. Welcome to twist1.com. It's our first video cast. Hopefully you tuned in and saw the first five podcasts on the audio, but now here we are. As you can tell from the sound of the voice, I'm Greg, Brian, Carl. This is us. Hopefully you weren't, you know, leaning your fingers crossed hoping for a lot more, because this is what you get. But anyway, I'm going to start off episode 6 here with our first video cast by a couple of new things. First of all, as you can see, this is what we do. We talk sports and drink beer. If you have any ideas, email us. Tell us the type of beer you'd like us to drink. Maybe it's a regional beer. We'll do it. Right now we have MGD Light, and Lightning Kugels. Lightning Kugels original. I was up in Brainerd, Minnesota earlier this week, and they had a special. It's like $13.20 a case. So I bought like 3 cases of MGD Light. So,
really?
Yeah. So that's why I'm drinking MGD Light instead of that Miller Light like I normally
not
do.
Not on a diet or anything?
No. I'm trying to find weight. anyway, so as always, we're going to do this the same way as we always do, only this time you get to watch us, unfortunately.
Also, side note, it's going to be audio first. I'm going to experiment with this first one to see how I can compress it and the different formats I'm going to have to do for the audio. So it'll be released in audio format first. Everybody will get it, as usual, at the same time, Sunday night, hopefully. And then, as I see fit, I'll release it on video base.
Fair enough.
Brian's the smart guy I keep talking about. Me? I'm lucky I got my computer started. We have a couple laptops in front of us. I'm not going to lie to you. We're not checking stock market. We're checking our fantasy teams. That's all I got. We got a TV off to my left, which we're pretty much watching the Sunday night game. So we're keeping it real. We're just letting you know where we're at. But a couple things when you go to our site. Obviously, hopefully you've been there before. Vote for us. Click on the Google Ads on the side. We make money off it. But once again, you get to
twist. A couple pennies.
Yeah, a couple pennies. You know, they add up. We get a couple million people that put in a couple pennies. Yeah. We get better audio. We get better visual. We'll have green screens behind us. We'll be top notch. Anyway, we'll jump in our article in our issues here in a second. But one other thing I wanted to mention: as you're voting, as you're clicking on Google Ads, all that fun stuff. There's another show out there. A couple of guys from the East Coast. It's called the TwistShow.com. Click on it. Take a listen. Pretty cool guys. Same type of format, same type of thing, talking about sports. Give them a listen, let us know. Maybe they do something better than we do. Maybe we do something better than they do. It's a wonderful world out there. We're just trying to have fun in it.
Show them a little love.
Show them a little love. But just have at her and have fun with it. But anyway, like I said, we're going to dive into 3 topics here. A couple things that we're going to kind of shy away from this week, which we've been really hitting hard the past couple weeks. College football, we're probably going to shy away from a little bit just because nothing really changed at the top. At the top, I'm talking your USC, your Texas, your Virginia Tech. They're the 3 big dogs. We'll probably shy away from that until things really start really dish out. Plus, there's more important things we really got to get into. But Wisconsin did win, so and Northwestern lost, so that's important. Anyway. A couple of the topics we're going to get into today, and once again, Carl and I have no idea what Brian's 5 questions are for us. He has yet to tell us. He's probably been thinking about that as he was coming home from South Dakota today.
No.
Or he just thought of it 5 minutes before
we
right before we walked in the door. Anyway, first topic we're going to dive into is dealing with not race issues. Not going to touch it. I'm not smart enough to deal with that. Race commentary. Fisher DeBerry this week, obviously people are familiar with what he said. What I want to do is compare that to what other people have said. Your Paul Hornings, your Dusty Bakers, comments they've made dealing with race in sports, and how that applies, what's right, what's wrong, what you can accept, what you can't. We'll dive into that one. The next thing I'm going to talk about is the World Series. It's over. I was wrong.
Again.
I thought the Houston Astros pitching was going to beat the White Sox, but give the White Sox credit, they had better pitching. We'll also deal with, who was the most deserving MVP. They had to give it to someone. I think what they did was they threw a dart against the wall and hit Jermaine Dye. Anyway, what was the third topic I was going to talk about? Oh, yeah. Cheryl Swoops. You know, Cheryl Swoops came out and mentioned she's the probably best, I would say, WNBA player of all time.
Most recognizable.
Yeah, obviously. You know, I'd say most recognizable, but I think that what she did was courageous. We'll get into how it would be different if a male did it. And if what she did was right, which, you know...
Did it and being coming out of the closet.
Coming out of the closet. Now that she doesn't have anything else in her closet, let's start talking about what she pulled out of it. Anyway, so we'll just dive into the first topic right off the bat, and we'll go right into right into the race issue. Right. Fisher DeBerry, head football coach from Ohio State. Air Force. I'm sorry.
Thank you.
I was looking at the thing. I was like, Air Force. And came out with a comment that, you know, once again, it was a recruiting-type commentary in a press interview where he was mentioning that they need to recruit more black players in specialty positions because they're faster. Goes again with the same thing that Paul Hornung said about Northwestern. Notre Dame. I'm dyslexic.
Lots of teams going on up there.
I got a lot of teams in my head. I lost a lot of money on Nebraska, and it's still in my head.
Right.
Anyway,
I told him not to.
Yeah. But the thing is, with Fish DeBerry, it's like he wants to recruit more black players, but you're also talking about a military academy.
True.
You are not recruiting black players to play football. At the military academy, you're recruiting people to perform in the military. That's a totally different standard.
Absolutely. And
but they still go hand in hand. A good athlete is going to be a good military, too.
Yes, you are. But traditionally, I mean, if you look at it, a person who is going to serve 7 years in the military
after completing college, yes.
Right, is going to go through the military. The only person I can think of that would be David Robinson would be any sort of exception to the rule. You got to recruit a different mindset for a military academy versus a person who's going to go to Ohio State, Wisconsin, Nebraska, Ohio State, or any of the other schools.
They have to be intelligent.
They have to be very intelligent, and that doesn't matter about that. But you also got to have a person who's willing to commit themselves for the military commitment afterwards. Is everyone going to be willing to do that?
We do 5 episodes of this show. I can't get these 2 to open their mouths. You put a camera on them, they don't shut up. Anyway, no, I guess what I want to say is I agree with what you're saying, that it's a different type of mentality. I looked at it from a different aspect. I looked at it from a strictly college, you know, post-high school, you know, higher learning type commentary of an athlete. And you take that with what Paul Hornung said about Notre Dame. If they want to be with the upper echelon of college football, they need to start recruiting, quote-unquote, the black player. Here's where I stand the whole thing. And then when it comes to college athletics, we'll dive into the Dusty Baker thing in a second. But if you just talk about college athletics with what they said, because they essentially said the same thing. They essentially were referring to the way that schools need to recruit kids. Of the top 60 highest recruited special position athletes, your wide receivers, your running backs, your quarterbacks, your defensive backs, things like that, your linebackers. Of the top 60 high school kids going into college, 60 out of 60 are black. So essentially, what he said isn't necessarily wrong. I mean, if you want the best player,
the top 60 in the nation out of all the quote-unquote, the skilled positions?
Skilled positions.
Are black.
All 60 of them are black.
None of them are white.
None of them are white.
Really?
Yep. Now, so...
Now, that seems surprising.
No, see, the thing is...
No,
of the specialty positions.
No Latinos, no Chinese Americans, no...
No. All 60. All the specialties. So you take out all your, you know, huge linemen.
We're not talking about linemen. Yeah. We're talking about specialty defensive backs, just like you said.
Exactly.
They're all black.
All 60 of them are African-American players that are coming out of high school into college. Wow. So essentially what he said isn't incorrect. But if you want essentially what he could have said was, if we want the best athletes, what we need to do is start looking to, you know, maybe widen up. I mean, a better way to say essentially what he said, I think, would be if we want the best athletes and if we want to compete with all the other top-notch schools, what we need to do is widen our, you know, umbrella of recruiting.
But what is their umbrella right now?
But again, you're talking about a military academy. You're not talking about Notre Dame.
Absolutely, which is why But the thing is they're being insensitive with the way they're saying things, and they're trying. You're talking about two, you know, Paul Hornung and Fisher DeBerry. You're talking about two old school guys who have done great services to their institutions: Notre Dame, Green Bay Packers, Air Force, all these things. You know, whoever it is, they've done great things for whatever institution they're representing. But they're old school guys. And what they need to realize is there are better ways to word things.
Yes.
No one's going to disagree when they look at a football field that, although, you know, that there's, what, two wide receivers in pro football right now that start for a team and are white? You know?
No, there's more.
There's Curtis from the Rams, and he's just starting because everyone else is hurt. And, you know, and maybe there's a couple more.
Jurevicius?
Is he technically considered the starter?
I don't know.
Yeah. Okay. Well, now he is.
Okay.
Because Jackson's hurt.
Okay. You're right. So, I mean, there's a couple, but all in all, you know, most of, so it's not incorrect. I just don't think it's a commentary that you need to really dive into.
Dwight, he's awesome.
Yeah, Tim Dwight.
Well,
yeah.
Dwight, he's legitimately starting because...
Kid's fast.
I saw him at Iowa when he played for Iowa. Again, being a Bet Japan season ticket holder when I was living in Wisconsin, and he was too good. He killed the Badgers.
Because he was on the other team, yeah, he was too good.
Yeah, he killed the Badgers, and as much as I respect him...
He's one of these...
Right, he was like a water bug, and as much as I hated him because he plays for Iowa, he was an awesome athlete.
Very steady Brewski entered the field. Sorry, we are watching the... Sunday night game. Anyway, now on a more general topic dealing with the same issue is commentary that other people have made when dealing with the same thing. Now, the one thing that we were all talking about before we went on air was commentary that maybe minorities make. And the two that I came up with right off the top were Dusty Baker's commentary from last year when he referred to that African Americans are just naturally, you know, better conditioned to deal with warm weather because they dealt with it in Africa, and about something.
When did he say that?
He
said it last year.
Yeah.
Wow.
And not only that, but sorry, I just got to turn my computer back on. I went to freeze mode. But and Hank Aaron made a commentary earlier this week. Hank Aaron's a hero of, you know, mine, yours, probably, great guy. But he did, you know, it wasn't a comment more than it was more of an observation that Houston Astros don't have any black players on their team, and here they are in the World Series. And then they did the stats, 9% of Major League Baseball is African American. And to get that one out of the way, personally, I just think that maybe it's possible. Now, I hate for everyone to...
Let's forget about it, big deal.
Yeah, that's exactly my argument, is that you might want to sit down for this, but maybe there's a large portion of African American kids who get this. Don't like playing baseball. Wow. Unbelievable. Who cares? You know what? I love playing baseball.
They don't like the hockey either.
I don't like hockey. I'm a white kid that lives in Minnesota, grew up in Wisconsin. I never got put on a pair of ice skates in my life. I don't know how to snow ski either. I mean, saying that's like saying that since Carl's Norwegian, that he can outdo anyone out there in anything related to ice and snow. You know what? It's who cares? You know, you don't have a white guy come on and say, you know what, there's only 17, you know, white players in the NBA, but there's so many blacks and this and that, and, you know, there's more Asians, and, you know, who cares? You know,
you
what?
Just pull that fact out of your...
What, the 17?
Yeah.
No, yeah, that was just a random number.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, no, the 9%, the 9% of Major League Baseball is black. That's a stat I heard earlier this week. But, on the more general issue, which, as you can see, Carl's in the region, he's just boiling right now. He wants to bring up the Dusty Baker thing.
I thought what Dusty Baker said was extremely racist. I was very angry what he said. And Greg just happened to bring up this topic, and I've actually been boiling upon it.
Hot button.
More than you even realize. because it literally pissed me off. With Dusty Baker's comment, with what he said, if it was made by a white manager about a black player, he would have been fired. He would have been fired flat out. I mean, he would have been deeper doo-doo. And I say doo-doo because this is a family show.
Yeah.
Wow, we don't want that whole explicit lyric, you know, clause.
Anyway, it made me very angry about what he said. Yes, obviously I'm wearing heli gear right now. Little did I know that we'd be on video camera right now. I just happen to like wearing heli gear. And, yeah, I do happen to be of Norwegian heritage. And I think Dusty Baker is absolutely wrong. And he's a racist. Okay. And I just totally...
Reverse
racism in this respect. I can stand the heat. I've been out on the tobacco farm in the middle of summer in 90-degree weather, and I've outlasted a lot of people. And
every racial descent.
Yes, and it pissed me off more than you can even realize.
When was it that he said this?
This is
the middle of last year, where someone made some comment about the Heat. They made some comment. It had to do with the Cubs playing a lot of day games. So it's Heat, you know. But anyway, my question is
totally racially insensitive towards the white race.
Oh, completely.
It's like,
isn't everybody
so what
insensitive
he
to other races, though?
But he just reinforced everything. It's like, okay, so I can, so Carl, you can be better on snow and ice than every other person. People of Latino and African heritage can be better in the heat. Black people can run faster, which totally reinforces what Fisher DeBerry says. Fisher DeBerry gets nailed to the cross in public opinion, but what Dusty Baker says is acceptable because he's African-American heritage. That's wrong.
Sure.
Two comments I heard about Dusty Baker. One from a national show, one from a buddy of mine. National show. Everyone, the big commentary on Dusty Baker is that he's the greatest baseball manager until the game starts. And now they're trying to wonder if possibly it's he's not even that.
Yeah.
Because of the whole Sammy Sosa situation, a lot of the other pitchers, and you know, the way he deals with things. And now a buddy of mine, who is an older gentleman, who's been a Cubs fan since longer than we've all been alive combined. You know, this guy, yeah, I saw him a couple weeks ago up at a show I did, and I asked him, I said, what's the problem with the Cubs? He goes, we got a clean house. We got to start cleaning the room that's the most dusty. And even when you have Cub fans... who don't want a guy like Dusty Baker, a guy who's supposed to be a fan-friendly manager, you got to get rid of him. Now, Dusty Baker, for some ungodly reason, I'm not going to bring up the race issue. I don't care if the guy is purple and from the planet Zimbitsu, you know, from some other galaxy. I don't care what his race is. For some reason, he gets a free pass. This guy blew a World Series and an NLCS for two different organizations, but yet he's still seen as this great manager. And he's not smart on top of it.
I don't know if he's seen as a great manager.
Sure he is. Everyone,
anybody in the know.
Why does he get hired?
He's a dumb
man. Then why does he get hired? Fire him.
He's a longtime baseball person that has a lot of connections. I got to pull myself out of this conversation because of what he said and my emotional attachment to it. And I apologize.
No, what you said is right. You didn't say anything wrong. It's just, it's very bothersome, and I agree with you, and I'm sure Brian does too, that it's kind of funny where you sit back and you think to yourself, why is it that, you know, the Paul Hornings and the Fisher DeBerrys of the world get so ostracized for saying some innocent comment that's perceived as racial? And is it racial? Quite possibly. It has a racial overtone to it. Dusty Baker says essentially the exact same thing, and he's seen as a guy who, gee, maybe just opened people's eyes? No, he said the same damn thing. I agree with you. He's a freaking racist. You know, and it's not, I don't think it's reverse racism. Racism is racism. You put one race, one ethnicity in a different spotlight than others. therefore you're a racist. It's that general, it's that simple. What he said, the only problem I have with what he said, the only problem I have with what Dusty Baker said, was the fact that he did not get ostracized the way that Fisher DeBerry did and Paul Horney did, and you know, Al Campanis, you know, go back to the early days of the 70s.
The Greek.
Yeah, or Jimmy the Greek, yeah, when he starts talking about, you know, black this and black that, and he actually probably dropped the N-bomb before, you know.
There's, what's his name, that guy that said something about Donovan McNabb last year.
Oh, Rush?
Rush
yeah. Limbaugh.
That idiot.
Well, you know, it's, honestly, I think that what Rush said is, from a media standpoint, the exact same thing that Fisher DeBerry said. It should be reprimanded, and it should be, you know, it's one of those things that you just don't say. But essentially, he said the same thing from a different standpoint. Was the media trying to promote a black quarterback? Possibly. Maybe they were. Here's the point I want to make. Who cares? Why are you even bringing it up?
It doesn't matter. In the NFL, it doesn't matter if you're black, white, green, or purple.
Just do your job.
There is one color that does matter. Green.
Well, yeah, you can't be green and purple, because then you'd live on the same Kauai River.
As far as money.
I'm talking about money. But
if you were purple and green, you'd be living on the same Kauai River, because you went, you know, Packer, Viking thing.
Yeah, you're right, but the Vikings suck. The Vikings just suck.
Yeah. Did the Packers win today?
The Packers lost 21-14.
They both suck.
Yeah,
so
exactly.
Both going down together.
It's like who's worse? It's like what hurts more, a punch to the left side of your face or your right? Who cares? They both are. Anyway, the big thing that I want to bring up with that issue that we talked about, I know it was a hot topic for you. I know that when I emailed you the topics earlier today, I knew there was going to be, you know, that firecracker that you just want to light off. I know Brian and I were excited about it because you were pretty passionate about it. But the one thing I want to bring up is the fact that it doesn't, my opinion, I'm not speaking on behalf of an ethnicity, a race, a gender. I'm not even speaking on behalf of these two other guys. My opinion is, whether or not something's right or wrong, some things just don't need to be said. You know, it's like,
there's such a thing as tact.
Exactly. And you know what? I can say that, you know, I'm gonna clarify this by saying that it's, you know, one of those, it's a joke that goes around all the time. Everyone has their jokes. I'm Polish.
Really?
Yes, I'm 50% Polish. And there's, you know,
Milwaukee.
My mom's from the south side of Milwaukee, my dad's from the north side. I'm 50% German, 50% Polish.
Okay. Longest race in the world.
Yeah, look at your history of Milwaukee, and you'll realize that that's funny. Anyway, what are the funniest jokes around? Polack jokes.
Oh, yeah.
You know what? That doesn't make it right. If I were to come out and say that, well, Polish people are better at this, 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 and this, or German people are this, this, and this. No, it makes it just as wrong. Here's the thing. Why can't we all, as a society, just, who cares? You know, I don't care if you're black. I don't care if you're Asian. I don't care if you're, you know, whatever. You're a person. You're just, deal with it. You know what? I can't wait to get on another topic so you can sit back and we can just cuddle. Because you're really fired up right now.
With what Dusty Baker said, he's never been called out about it. It really fires me up. And
he wasn't called out back when he said it about it?
No.
They didn't go on talk shows and be like, this is crazy, I can't believe he said this.
Certain shows, certain AM sports shows did.
But they shy away from it because he's black?
It's not, I don't think it has anything to do with because he's black. I think it has a lot to do with the fact that, well, it's, I don't want to use a Manny Ramirez remark, but it's Dusty being Dusty. You know, Dusty Baker has a tendency to do things that are a little outlandish. I mean, this is the same guy who had his 4-year-old son at home plate, you know, when J.T. Snow was coming in to tie the Game of World Series.
That was him?
Yeah, that was him.
He's an idiot.
Oh, man.
You know, okay, here's the thing. Dusty Baker, you're an idiot. Okay? That has nothing to do with your race. It has nothing to do with, you know, anything other than the fact that you manage a professional baseball team and you are an idiot. You don't know what you're doing. I could have managed that game one of the NLCS against Florida Marlins.
Now Dusty's going to be calling us.
Yeah, go ahead, Dusty.
What's our number?
What's that?
What's our number?
I don't know. It's like 612-2-something.
235-6363.
No. Yeah, I don't have that screen up. I got my fantasy team, which they're getting their butts handed to them. Anyway. By the way, right now, the Buffalo and New England game is on right now, about 13 minutes to go in the first quarter, 2 minutes into the game. And I have one question. Teddy Bruschi's kicking some butt right now. Good for him. But why does Teddy spell his name with one D? just something stupid I wanted to bring up. Teddy Bruschi. It's T-E-D-Y. Isn't Teddy T-E-D-D-Y? I don't know. Anyway, next topic we're going to jump into. If you have any further commentary you want to talk about with Carl on the Dusty Baker issue, and if you want to become part of the Dusty Baker fan club, which Carl is obviously the chairperson of, please email us, twistone.com. Go to our website, email us, contact us. The emails go to Brian, who then forwards on all of us. So email to us, title it, Carl, I want to become a member of the Dusty Baker fan club, and I'm sure he'll get back to you. By the way, I'd like to thank the couple people who have emailed. What's that?
You can call us, too.
Oh, you can call us, too. Yeah, you got the phone number, you got the email, whatever you want to do. But I'd like to thank the couple people who have emailed and called us about different suggestions for the show, different ideas, suggestions, commentary, either way. We really appreciate it. Good, bad, and different. We appreciate it because it just helps us grow. This is our sixth episode. So thank you very much for that, and we look forward to all the ones in the future. Next topic we're going to get into is the World Series. And Brian emailed me this week just whining about Jermaine Dye being the MVP, things like that. And
My opinion on that.
Yes. In fact, if I could misquote Brian here real quick, I think it was, how could that fool be the MVP? Here's my thing. Is it was a four-game series. White Sox win, good for them, yada, 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 nice job, don't stop believing, yeah, okay, I'm done with it. Anyway, I'm not a big Astro fan. I'm a big fan of the Astro story. Let's make that straight real quick. Jermaine Dye, World Series MVP. My opinion is, honestly, they had to give it to someone. They had to give it to someone, and you can't give it to... The only pitcher that they could have possibly given that World Series, which the MVP trophy to, would have been Mark Burley. Why? Because Mark Burley was the only person who had to pitch in more than one game. He was a Game 2 winner. He saved Game 3. So, yeah, you could have given it to him. You could have given... I mean, essentially...
But you only have four games. That's not a whole lot of games
exactly.
To get into.
So no pitcher had to win two. It wasn't like the Diamondback series against the Yankees where in 2001 where, you know, Randy Johnson and Curt Schilling won all the games.
My point is you can't really give it to a pitcher because you... They're not a position player. They're not out there every single
inning.
They're
not batting. Well, you got to give it to somebody batting.
Yeah, but you could have given it... If the series would have won seven games, and let's say Burley, you know, wins Game 2, closes Game 3, and shuts them on Game 6. Well, then you give him it. But the game only went four games. Right. The series only went four games. So you can't give it to a pitcher. I understand that. Why they give it to Jermaine Dye? You could have given it to Konerko. You could have given it to, you know, Pacenik. You could have given it to Przinski. Whoever. There's a lot of guys. I think the reason they gave it to Jermaine Dye was he had three RBIs in the whole series. That's fine. Granted, there weren't that many RBIs to go around. None of these games were all that high scoring.
It wasn't pitching duel.
Yeah, and I think the reason they gave it to him were his three RBIs came in really, you know, critical portions of the game. Of, you know, it was, you know, one of them was a game winning RBI. One was, you know, game tying. It was. I think that they were pretty essential, so...
Is it for just the World Series, yes. Or is it for the whole run to the World
Series? It's just for the World Series.
Okay.
Because if it would have been for the whole series, I think that, yeah, then you pick your pitcher. If it was for the NLDS, NLCS, and World Series, then,
I think that it should be for the whole
run. No, they have an NLDS MVP, they have an NLCS MVP, and they have a World Series MVP.
Well, I don't know. When you only have four games, it's kind of like... Well, okay, yeah, you hit a home run. You're the MVP.
Well, yeah, exactly. That's why it's hard to do for a four-game series.
Yeah.
So, but, no, it's I give credit to White Sox. I was wrong. I would have liked to have seen Houston Astros win just because I liked the story, and especially when the Rocket got hurt. I feel like he might be done now.
No Bloody Sox involved, though.
No Bloody Sox involved. Roger, you could have gotten a Bloody Sock and got out there. Anyway, give Roger a lot of credit. Do what you want to do. If you want to come back, I'm once again your biggest fan. You know that. I mean, outside of your kids and everything, but all that. But you know, if you want to come back, great. If you don't, more power to you. Yeah.
Is he talking about not coming back?
Well, with the injury, injuries.
The media's talking. Okay.
Yeah, it's,
he's been doing.
He's not saying anything
at this point. Whatever he does is totally fine and acceptable.
It's up to him.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah,
he's had a good career.
He's like the Brett Favre of the baseball world. It's like you don't want to see him go because you're such a fan of him, no matter who you are. But at the same time, you got to respect the fact that if he does want to leave.
Yeah. Like today, they showed Brett Favre had 34 comeback wins.
Yeah.
I was surprised. I mean, like, I've been a Packer fan. I've been slurping the Packers Kool-Aid for many years. And I was surprised at 34 comebacks. I was just shocked at that number, how many it was.
Yeah. But anyway, so obviously the World Series is over, so we won't have to talk about baseball again until probably about another month or so. We'll bring it up again with the hot stove, as they call it, all the free agency and all that kind of stuff.
Because the Brewers are going to win the World Series.
And the Brewers are going to win the World Series, obviously, according to Carl.
Yeah.
The Brewers here first. The Brewers are going to win the World Series as soon as, you know, 30-some-odd other teams actually forfeit.
I guess Chicago's turn now.
Yeah, that's what they say.
I mean, the Cubs.
The Cubs
will win the World Series probably the season after they get rid of Dusty Baker.
Yeah.
But anyway, okay, third topic we'll jump into.
Let's start a rumor with that, though.
What's that?
We can start a rumor about, like, Dusty getting fired.
Dusty is getting fired.
We're like a major media outlet right now.
Actually, we are. We are out there on the web. Anyone who wants to, Dusty Baker can hear this for the first time. I want Dusty Baker to go on an interview tomorrow and say, "I heard on this Jackass radio show, or, you know, podcasting
that animal, Jackass."
Yeah, exactly. We're the first ones to mention that you're getting fired. Why are you getting fired? Well.
Because you're that animal.
Yeah, I can.
Racist?
Yeah. Okay, we're going to go off with Dusty Baker, but I can manage a team better than you. I wouldn't have put Farnsworth in when he did in game one of the NLCS, for God's sake. Come on, Dusty! Anyway, third topic we're going to get into is more of a general issue dealing with homosexuality in sports. Cheryl Swoops came out, WNBA player, probably the most recognizable player, arguably the most accomplished WNBA player in history. Lisa Leslie obviously has an argument.
Yeah.
There's a couple of players who obviously have arguments with that, but argumentatively speaking, quite possibly, she could be considered, you know, the Michael Jordan, the Magic Johnson, the Larry Bird of the WNBA. Yeah.
Three WNBA MVP
awards. Good for her. She came out and announced this week that she's a lesbian. She's got an 8-year-old son. She's divorced. She's got a kid, all that stuff. Perfect. Good for you. I applaud you.
I got a question.
Talk to me.
What do you think? Well, actually, I should have put this in one of my five questions. I didn't think about this before.
Well,
do you
even
know
six,
your five
sixth question.
Okay. Bonus question.
Fire away.
Right now?
Bring it.
What do you think is percentage of women in the WNBA that are lesbians? Give me a percentage.
Here's my answer to that.
I would say
right now, okay, how many actually are saying? What do you think the percentage is now?
Saying
that they're lesbians?
20-30%.
Really? You think that many?
Yeah.
Are actually out of the closet?
Yeah. Okay. Probably fair. You know, I'm giving you a guesstimate. And as a person who doesn't follow the WNBA, I would say to be a lesbian in basketball and in women's sports, it's much more socially acceptable.
Yeah.
I would say 20, 30, 40%. Right in that...
I would say 40. That you're at 40, you're almost, you know, every other. So I'd say maybe 10 to 15%.
That actually are. Really?
Yeah. And
I would say it's pretty high.
Well, here's the thing is... My problem isn't with that she said it, and I have no problem with her saying it. I applaud her, you know, all night that she said it. She came out, all that stuff. My thing is that the article that it came out in, she mentioned that she thinks that society is ready if her male counterparts would come out and say it. Now, here's the thing. Brian just mentioned, her male counterparts, if you take the WNBA and you put on the even playing field with the NBA, you're talking about the Allen Iverson, the Tim Duncan, the Kevin Garnett, the Kobe Bryant to come out and say they're gay.
The macho guys.
Yeah, but, okay, here's the thing.
It's different when guys say it, though.
Yes, and I think
it's like
that
a death warrant, pretty
well,
much.
Yeah, and I have, and I hope
you're
not, I'm
not last very long in the NBA.
I hope I'm not out of line by saying this, and I think that it's understandable, but I think that the media brass of the WNBA, I think, would applaud the idea of being able to more openly promote the WNBA to the lesbian contingent of America. I think that with the fact that Cheryl Swoops came out, it opens up a whole other market to them. They can now say, look at us, we're, you know, friendly to, or we're accepted by not only the heterosexual community, but the homosexual community. You know, Cheryl Swoops, our best player, she's a homosexual. Good for her. The NBA wouldn't be able to do that. It just wouldn't make sense to them. You don't think so?
No, they wouldn't be able to.
Oh, exactly. No. Right now they have their fan base. It's the, you know, the 16 to 38-year-olds or whatever market they, you know, go towards. Good for them. They got them in. Flag on the play. Okay, they got them in. They're doing their thing. They're not really going to boost up their revenue by catering to the male homosexual market, which is why I don't think they care. It's not as big of a deal. Whereas the women, I think that they would, because you're looking for your fan bases if you're the WNBA any way you can. And if now you can get another market in.
It's almost a good thing to get press in Cheryl Swoops' incident.
Absolutely.
Or the WNBA.
Yeah.
But WNBA has been, how do I say it, historically very. They've been historically.
I'll say something worse in a second as soon as he's done.
They've been historically very open to the lifestyles of the homosexual, and they've also very much supported the gay lifestyle of their athletes. And with that, the female athletes and the gays in the communities that have their teams there in various cities, the women have supported their teams. And very much so.
I was getting way off the board.
Well, again, I try to be very politically correct in this situation.
I don't know if they like being called gays, though.
I'm trying to say the right thing in this situation.
Yeah.
I guess,
I mean,
all I wanted to say.
Your opinion.
All I wanted to say about this whole thing is, this is my personal opinion, not Carl's, not Brian's, Greg's. Personal opinion. The WNBA was created at a very convenient time. Personally, What's that?
Second try.
I don't know if the NBA was sponsoring the previous
game. Well, there was another league. There was another league that competed with the WNBA, and then they folded because of the lack of funding.
Okay, here's...
Sorry
here's,
about that.
Well, no worries.
My
thing is, the WNBA was created at a goofy kind of time. It was when everyone knew that Michael Jordan was at the end of his career. It was when the NBA first started. It was
WNBA.
Is in Larry Bird was retired, Magic Johnson was out, Michael was nearing retirement. He was, you know, retired, played a year and a half with the White Sox farm system. My personal opinion, I'm not speaking on behalf of anyone, is that the WNBA was created by the NBA to try to promote something that people don't want. How do you succeed at something people don't want? Okay, follow me here. Follow me for a second.
Why would you start something that people don't want?
Yeah, exactly. Okay.
Profit's everything. You want money.
It's all about the dollar.
Okay, get
it. It doesn't matter.
Okay, follow me for a second.
Wow.
People don't watch women's basketball. I have nothing against it. It's very fundamental. People don't watch it. If they can succeed at that, on how to promote that and how to get viewers in, they can promote to the post-Michael Jordan era of NBA. They can figure out a way to do that then. They're using it as a test sample. It was more of like a write-off, in other words.
Michael Jordan doesn't change the NBA that much.
The hell he doesn't.
There's going to be another Michael.
Michael Jordan.
Michael was a huge marketing
Michael Jordan is
himself.
The only person, I think, in the history of entertainment where you can look at the New York Stock Exchange and you can actually see the Michael Jordan impact of it.
Okay, between Gatorade and Nike, yes, but
my other thing is, no one wants to watch the NBA. No one cares. What are they?
There's people that barely watch the NBA. WNBA.
I agree with you. That's the problem. They wanted to find a way to market this product that they have, the NBA, to people who.
So put out something that's worse, So, oh, this isn't so bad.
No, but see, okay.
Because this is a lot worse.
No, but see, you...
Something I never watch, and it's never on television.
Exactly.
But you're not following me. You're not following me. Is...
Except for the playoffs, which, if it's in your area, it might be on television.
Right. It's like, the only time I watched the NBA playoffs is when the Bucks were in the playoffs. Other than that, I didn't care.
Yeah.
Okay. My...
You're not convincing us.
I know. And my stance on the whole thing is that... All they're trying to do is try to find a way to open up their product, in this case the WNBA, to as many markets as possible. And they try to find a way to do it, and it's like, hey, if this works with this, maybe we can try this with the NBA. Because they knew there was not going to be that golden boy Michael Jordan. There wasn't going to be the
Who's
kid.
LeBron James, Could he
at
be the
time,
next
Mike? At the time that the WNBA was created, LeBron
Kobe
James
Bryant.
Was...
Kobe Bryant was coming.
But there was no Michael Jordan. I mean, do you realize that...
There's always going to be another...
Do you realize
kid.
That LeBron James is probably the 10th person since 1990 that was referred to as the next Michael
the
Jordan?
One? Yeah.
You know, you got...
You had a point there.
You know, so every... They're trying to find a way... The only way that they're promoting the sport...
But Michael Jordans don't come around that often.
Exactly.
The thing is, we had three at the same time
But at the same time...
That's actually what I watched.
But see, that's just it. They realize that. They realize that you can say that... what's his name? Or Penny Hardaway, the next Michael Jordan.
God.
Baby Jordan, what was his name? Harold Miner.
Yeah.
You know,
the whole basketball free throw thing.
LeBron James. You got...
J.R. Ryder,
Kobe Bryant, all these... Everyone wanted to promote the next Michael Jordan. I think what they try to do is decide...
Hey,
you know what?
Michelle Wee. She's the next Michael Jordan.
Michelle Wee is... Yeah. You know what? I asked Michelle Wee last week to give me a phone call when she starts accomplishing something.
She's 16, something. Man. You're hitting on a 16-year-old.
No, I asked Michelle Wee to give me a call when she started to accomplish something. I haven't gotten a phone call yet.
Give him a plug.
Oh, Lightning Cools? Yeah. Chippewa Falls, Wisconsin.
Gotta go with Jake.
Why are you going with...
Actually, I'm
not even,
mix.
I'm not even empty yet. Yeah, let me finish my other one first, but right. I will.
You
anyway.
Can't put a good thing in a bad thing.
Anyway.
Actually, they might actually.
Guys, what I want to know is I read an article in ESPN.com that from a Division I... he was an athletic director, but he was a person of power within a Division I program that was very prominent. From the way I understood it, it was a Division I program within the Big 12 or the Big 10. He was very adamant in his article, in his email, and his phone conversation to this particular sports writer about what Cheryl Swoops had to say about men coming out in being gay in the programs that they are at. And I would have to say that I would have to agree with them that men cannot come out and be gay in Division I athletics at this time. I know it sounds weird, and especially with the WNBA and the way they are right now. Men, just in that situation, men cannot come out and be gay. In this, we're like two or three generations away from being
openly acceptable to having gay men.
You're right.
But would it make you more comfortable talking about this if you cuddled with me?
Wrong answer.
Come on.
This conversation came up.
Please, pretty please.
Give us a hug.
I'm trying to be serious here, guys.
No, I know.
But I'm just trying to say that. With what Cheryl Swoops had to say in her article, and as a person who's straight, who is trying to be supportive of the gay athlete, and I'm trying to be very supportive, it is difficult for the gay athlete to come out. I wrestled in a Division III program.
And I was straight.
And I'm straight. But I sucked. I got my ass whooped hands over time and time again. So I'll be honest, I sucked as a Division III athlete. But someone asked me about that, and I told them straight out, I would have taken a 2x4 to their head and smacked them.
You're a different person back then, right?
That was 17 years ago.
Yeah,
you're old.
Yeah, I'm old. But I told them straight out, if a person came out and told me that they were gay and I wrestled with them, I would have taken a 2x4 to their head.
That was a different time, though, too.
Well, but I'll be honest. I'm just being honest.
Did you know anybody that was gay back then?
No, but someone came out afterwards that I wrestled with a lot that was gay.
Just how soon after you got done rolling around on the mat with him?
About 10 years.
Okay. So, you're like, ooh, weird.
It was weird, but...
But you're in college at that time?
At the time we were in college, he apparently was straight. I definitely am straight. Closed-minded, if you want to say that, I'll...
Holy cow, that's a romp.
Yeah, by the way, just say another reason why I was on the computer a second ago. I'm getting my butt handed to me right now in fantasy football. I'm losing to my cousin 81-24 in fantasy football. And I have Deion Branch playing right now and Jamal Lewis yet to play. And he's got Fast Willie Parker yet to play. So, yeah, I'm losing a lot. Oh, yeah, wait. I also have Todd Heap yet to go. Thank you, Brett Favre. Anyway, back to the issue. That's...
Lord, you had the Redskins, and they scored 0 for you.
Yeah, that's what happens when you give up 36 points.
Yeah,
that's not good. Anyway, Carl, keep talking about
being
gay
that.
In wrestling. I'm going to get my ass kicked right now.
Yeah, I'm going to kick your ass later. Anyway, what I want to say is, to the gay athlete, please continue to be who you are. It's going to take 2 or 3 generations to be considered, how do I say this, accepted.
Yeah.
But
everyone that comes out makes it easier for the next person. It's kind of like the whole Rosa Parks thing.
It is.
God bless Rosa Parks.
Yeah, God bless Rosa Parks, yes. And again, please don't take what I said before, because as a 20-year-old kid who would take a 2x4 to a guy that I wrestled with, it's a very intimate sport. This topic of conversation came up while I was at the curling club, and we ended up discussing this, and I told him straight out how I felt, and at the time as a 20-year-old kid, is someone that was gay that I wrestled with in the wrestling room, I would take a 2x4 to their head, and I apologize for that. But that's the way I felt when I was 20 years old. It's the wrong attitude, but that's how I felt. There's a very machismo way that a lot of athletes feel, especially the male athlete. You don't realize, a lot of people don't realize what it's like, and you literally have to fend for yourself, and a lot of people don't realize what it's like. So what you got to do is just be most aggressive as you can, and for the gay male athlete, fend for yourself. Don't let it out. Fend for yourself and literally rip their f***ing heads off.
Wow. Wow. We just went through explicit lyrics. Anyway.
Seriously. I'm trying to be very supportive.
Yeah. By the way, that was a delayed beep. But no, I understand what Carl's saying. You know, it's like sometimes you just got to realize that, you know, certain things, right or wrong, maybe you don't want to be the one to do that. So I understand what he's saying. Anyway, next week on this show, what we're going to do is we're going to have a bag over Carl's head and a muzzle. Anyway, no, we're going to split the show up next week into 2 different episodes. It's going to be Brian and I on the couch, and there's going to be a half hour of what we're going to call Carl in the Box. And it's going to be Carl in a room by himself where he just goes off on some certain issue. I think I'm going to bring up something to do with, like, kicking your pets and children.
Baker.
No, it's gonna be, I'm going to bring up something like, you know, people who, I don't know, put, you know, pins in trick-or-treat candy and see how Carl deals with that one. Now, I'm just going to put him in a box, put him in a room by himself and see how he deals with that. That's what we're going to do next week's episode. So
what's the next topic?
Next topic. We're going to the five questions.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah.
Right now?
Bring up the five questions.
I'm just kind of worried about running out of tape.
Oh, I understand. So. Yeah, because we have Johnny McRant over here who...
What?
You bring up a societal issue and...
All right, okay. God, here we go. First question. What would you do if you were the owner of the New Orleans Saints? You know, they got all these issues, and they're talking back and forth. The mayor's going off, and the commissioner's coming in, and you got all these things. He's shopping around.
I'll let Carl answer first, and I'll get the correct answer.
Go.
If the deal in New Orleans isn't sweet enough, move to L.A.
Okay.
Is it a business decision, or is it a heart decision? I mean, do you run the team with your heart or with your wallet?
Wallet.
Move. It's a business for him.
Move to L.A.
Okay. Good.
Here's the thing. L.A. doesn't want him. L.A. doesn't want them.
L.A. didn't want a team before.
L.A. does not want the Saints. They want their own team. They want an expansion team. San Antonio, I don't think, can afford them. New Orleans, I hate to be insensitive to issue dealing with a natural disaster. But, sorry, we're dealing with a lot of race issues.
Yeah.
But New Orleans will not be able to support a team financially for years. They can't even support the Saints now. They get like money from the government right now to have the team there. So I think, honestly, what they should do is find a city that can afford the team, that wants the team. I don't know where that is. You know what? Maybe it is. Maybe San Antonio can find a way the next year to do that. L.A. doesn't want him. Don't go to L.A. All it's going to do is be another failure.
He's gonna follow the money trail, though.
Oh, absolutely. And good for him. Here's the thing.
Because he's going to cash out.
In the big boy world, that if you are the owner of something, you're going to do what makes you the most money. I have no problem with Tom Benson doing that. Absolutely no problem doing that. If I was Tom Benson, I would be on national TV every day saying, look, this is what happened in New Orleans. I own a football team.
New Orleans Shopping Network.
Yeah, do you want our football team? I'm willing to move. I'm a salesman. You know, he's got the car salesman. You know what? I'm sick and tired of this.
Is he a car salesman, too?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. What is the deal with car salesmen?
Him and Red McCombs are actually pretty good friends.
What is the deal with these guys?
Okay, here's the thing that bothers me is why does everyone have to be so sensitive about certain things? The guy owns something. The New Orleans Saints, believe it or not, do not own the Saints. New Orleans does not own the Saints. That Tom Benson does. If he wants to take his team somewhere, go. God bless you. You know, good luck. You know, Godspeed. All that fun stuff.
Okay. So you guys are really lucky. You have Green Bay. Nobody owns them. Yeah, I already know.
I know
the freaking story. Everybody freaking owns them. But it's like, you don't have one guy that's going to pull them out and go to L.A. Everybody wants to go to L.A. It's like, L.A. has had a team, the team moves away. Gets another team, moves away. It's like, L.A. doesn't support their team. They barely support the Dodgers. They come in the third inning, they leave in the seventh inning. It's like...
Last year they came in the fifth and stayed till the end because Lights Out Gagne was pitching, so...
Oh, so they want to see somebody...
Yeah. But no, I mean, my whole thing is, if you own something, I mean, here's the thing. On about a bazillion times smaller scale, how would you feel if I walked up to you, either one of you guys, and said, I don't like the color of your car. Paint it.
Fuck you.
Wow. You really got to watch your mouth. Both of you guys would say the same thing.
Yes.
Why is that different for Benson?
I want to know why. Why do you want me to paint my car?
Exactly.
Well, it gives you the right to...
Exactly.
To paint
why
my
is
car.
It? Why is it our right, as three guys who live in Minnesota... or anyone else to decide what Benson wants to do with his football team. It's not New Orleans football team. It's his football team.
Yeah.
If he says, you know what, I'm not making any money here.
But when it comes to sports and people, they attach themselves and...
Like the mayor said, he's like, oh, we want to keep the name Saints. Fine. Keep the team name Saints.
I don't know if they want it.
No,
a different state.
No, the mayor said he
doesn't
wants
make any sense.
The mayor said he wanted to do the same things that the Browns did.
Yeah.
Where you keep the name of the team in the city. You know, it's kind of, so you don't have to deal with that whole.
Los Angeles Lakers, or the
Utah Jazz. You know, I understand that. I'm okay with that, but get your own team and start supporting it, and you know, don't build your city when it's below sea level. Anyway. Well, anyway, next question.
Next question is, oh man, this is a tough one. Top coaches of all time. First one is college football. Who's the best coach of all time?
Best college football coach of all time.
We want to go through these quickly because I got lots of them.
John Wooden.
No, college football.
College football.
Oh, college football. Tom Osborne.
I was going to say the same thing.
Wow.
And it wasn't just because you're from Nebraska.
Wow.
I think that Tom Osborne.
Tom Osborne.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay.
You know, you might go with Joe Paterno. You might go with Joe Paul, but I think that Tom Osborne.
Tom Osborne.
You know, he's running for mayor now. Or no, not mayor, governor of the state.
Yeah, he's already a congressman.
But he's going to win by a landslide.
And that's why I think he's the best coach of all time. The guy was able to recruit people in Nebraska, for God's sakes.
He's a good guy.
Everyone I've ever met from Nebraska now lives in someplace else. You're the sole person on that list. But anyway, next one.
College basketball.
John Wooden.
Wooden.
Yeah.
I think that's close between Coach K and Wooden.
No, I think that
Wooden.
Coach K is still going.
I think that the Wizard of Westbrook is better. I think that.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's going to be close in the end.
I think in a day and age where, I mean, the guy had like 80 some odd wins in a row.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, I think
he was the same.
Yeah.
But, yeah, he was awesome.
Major League Baseball.
Best coach.
All time.
Best manager of Major League Baseball of all time. Major League Baseball. Wow. By the way, we had no idea about these questions.
Yeah.
These are the hot stove. The you know, throw them out there. First reaction.
Who is the coach of the Giants?
I think this is the toughest one right here.
Giants. Who's the coach of the Giants?
Manager?
Right now?
Yeah, one of the early ones. Right when the first World Series was called off. What was his name? I can't think of it.
You know
Can
what?
You think of anybody?
Well, you know what? I gotta go with the big picture. I don't necessarily know if he's the best of all time. This is a difficult question.
Yeah.
But
these are supposed to be difficult.
I kind of gotta give the nod to Joe Torre.
No.
Well.
No.
I think that you can make an argument both ways. But my whole stance is the guy has to deal with more, and he's been successful doing it. So why not give him a shot? You know, why not even put him in the argument? Sparky Anderson I throw in there.
Let's keep it moving.
Lou Piniella, you know, all these guys, they're all good managers.
You guys kind of choked on that one.
We choked on that.
Do some research and come back to me next week.
Okay. Yeah, I think that we have to do that.
Next one.
NBA.
I hate to say it.
Okay, I'm going to give the floor to you.
Phil Jackson.
No.
I agree 100%.
Red Auerbach.
Red Auerbach is good. Red Auerbach was good for his time. I think that Phil Jackson.
I agree with the Zen Master.
I think that Phil Jackson was able to do two things.
Red Auerbach.
Where Red Auerbach was able to do one. Red Auerbach was able to take five players and have them win championships. Jackson was able to win championships and deal with attitudes. There's a lot of money involved when Phil Jackson was coaching versus Red Auerbach.
Red Auerbach drafted and built the teams.
It was a different age and time.
Well, it's like saying that Bill Russell should be the greatest coach of all time because he's a coach player. You know, that he was able to do both. I think that in this day and age...
We can't get into a long, drawn-out thing about this.
Okay.
This is just a section of the one question. Now, NFL. Last one.
Oh, Lombardi.
Vince. Give me a high five. Give me a high five for Vince.
You're talking to two Packer fans.
Yeah. Vince. I knew that was what it was going to be.
Vince
like,
Lombardi, for God. Come on.
I'm very surprised with college football, though. I would have thought the... Who was it?
Joe Paterno?
Guy with the hat from Alabama.
Oh, Bear Bryant.
Bear Bryant or Bobby Bowden or... Yeah.
Bear Bryant or Notre Dame coaches. I mean, they've had so many.
Eric Parsegian. Kind of let Rudy play on the team.
So
you gotta give him credit. But no, I think Tom Osborne.
You can't give it to Tom
Osborne.
I agree. He's great, but...
No. You ask for our opinion, you got it.
You're kissing my ass.
Well, we're not kissing your ass. We're just telling you how we feel.
My donkey.
Right.
Well, you know what? We could pick somebody from the SEC if you'd like.
Next question.
Most overrated team in college football in the top 25 right now?
Texas Tech.
Yeah, I think... No, well... Yeah, I'd go with Texas Tech. I think that...
That's the one that comes off right off the top of my head. No. Yeah. There's plenty of them.
Well...
If I would have said this on Friday, you
Texas
might
Tech.
Say something different?
Well, you probably would have. I don't know if...
You
would have
said Texas Tech yet?
Texas Tech, yeah, I think that they're overrated. I think that Minnesota before... Well, I don't think they're in the top 25 anymore. I haven't checked.
No. Not anymore. They were 23 before. Yeah. Like, what?
But I think they were very overrated. They have a great running game. Good for them. But it's very easy, and I think that Ohio State proved that yesterday. It's easy to beat a running team.
Minnesota does the same thing every single year.
But you know what? The Badgers were a big running team for many, many years, and...
Yeah, but
did it never work for them?
Well, no. I hate to say this, they follow Nebraska's blueprint.
Oh, I'm sorry. I was thinking gophers.
Okay, yeah. They follow.
Those are two animals that are very similar, so it's confusing.
Well, I mean, literally, like, Wisconsin slurped Nebraska's Kool-Aid, and they became Nebraska
And Nebraska's changed
East.
Them.
By the way, this episode of TwistOne.com brought to you by Kool-Aid, apparently. Carl keeps referencing it.
And Lennon Kool-Aid.
Yeah. Okay, next question.
Who's your fantasy football surprise player of the year?
Brett Favre.
Yeah.
Bad-wise.
No, bad-wise?
Being doing badly. You said Brett Favre doing very badly.
Oh, no.
He's doing badly, isn't he?
No. Brett Favre's doing great fantasy-wise.
Really?
Except for this week, he's been awesome.
Except for this week, Brett Favre is...
You guys are drinking Kool-Aid. Big time.
Okay, hold on 1 second.
You're all like...
Well, he had 5 interceptions this week. Except for this week, he's been awesome.
Hold on, Lee Holm.
Really?
Lee Holm, I'm going to show you guys something.
I thought you would have said somebody like Santana Moss.
No, hold on.
Santana's been...
All U.S. This is my fantasy football league. The MVP race, this is the, you know, most points.
Brett Favre's been great.
You would expect those guys to be up there.
Brett Favre's been great.
Yeah, but Brett Favre is the only guy on this list right now that already had his bye week. Granted, he didn't gain a lot of points this week. I'll admit that.
Who votes on that?
No, it's not votes.
Team in your league?
No. It's not votes. That's the amount of points they've gathered this year.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
For the worst,
yeah.
For the worst fantasy football player?
As far as where they are? Exclude injuries. I would have put Dante Culpepper.
Yes.
But I would say exclude injuries. Dante Culpepper was bad, but he was good last week. My worst fantasy player is Tony Gonzalez.
But
again,
this afternoon,
and I'm going to have to put an argument into it. It was injuries on the team, but it wasn't his injury. It was injuries among the offensive line.
Yeah,
I found a good topic here.
It was with Tony Gonzalez. He has done everything he's needed to do, but he's been held back because he's got a block to keep Priest Holmes and
Priest
Larry Johnson running.
Yeah. It's all Larry.
It's all about the running game. And you can't blame Tony Gonzalez for doing this job.
Yeah, but I think the way you look at that when you answer that question, it's like, where would you take a guy normally in this draft? Where would this guy normally go versus how does he rate with players who came before him? Tony Gonzalez is normally, I think, in the past couple of years, first tight end you take. Yeah, he's not the best scoring tight end. Brett Favre, if you look at the fantasy books, was like the fifth or sixth quarterback that you take. Yet he's the best fantasy-wise, points-wise. His team is the worst, but his fantasy points are the best. Fantasy-wise, that's who you take. I mean,
well, fantasy-wise, Brett Favre has been...
I thought it was Carson Palmer that was leading.
Carson Palmer's doing well. Carson Palmer and Brett Favre are like right in that same range, and Favre's doing better than him.
In fact, Carson Palmer finally passed him this week because they played each other.
Yeah.
That Carson Palmer actually passed him in fantasy points because of the number of touchdowns.
Yeah. Mm. But they saw their bye week come up. Keep that in mind. If you go total points, they saw their bye week in mind. If you go average points, yeah, that's one thing. But if you go total points, they saw their bye week coming up. So, week 10. Next question.
Last one, and this goes back to the college or NBA. best coach of all time, can Phil, the Zen Master Jackson, and Kobe Bryant work together successfully bringing the Lakers back?
Yes.
I would have to agree, yes. They would.
I think the reason they're going to do it is because for one reason and one reason only.
Phil.
No.
That's it.
Phil's
a great coach.
Like or hate, I mean, if okay, here's my argument says, you can hate your boss, but if getting along with your boss means you're going to get promoted in life, you're going to find a way to agree with them. I think that both these guys, I don't think either one of these guys like each other, but here's the thing. I don't think they care. I think they both realize.
They care about winning, though.
Yeah, exactly. I think that they know that all we have to do is coexist on camera and coexist in front of people and do what's best for each other. You know, one back scratches the other, or, you know, you scratch my back, I'll scratch yours. Well, however you want to word it. Whatever it is, I think that they realized that all they really need to do is do what's in each other's best interest and helps them out personally. I don't think they like each other. I don't think they care.
Well, Phil got paid big time to come back.
Oh, yeah.
Well, in his book, he wrote, "You'd Never Come Back."
Yeah.
I believe.
A lot of that had to deal with his girlfriend.
Jeannie.
Which is the owner's daughter.
Jeannie Buss. Jerry Buss's daughter.
Really?
Yeah.
They're dating.
They're scrogging.
Phil and her?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Yeah, it's been for a while.
He's taking her on the Harley every once in a while?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, he's taking on the Harley more than...
Up to Montana.
You know he has a Harley. You know?
Yeah. Up to Montana.
He's scrogging Jerry Buss's daughter, like, regularly.
Well, yeah, I think that she had a vested interest in that. So,
she on the payroll?
Oh yeah, she's like the someone who's in charge of something.
Yeah, but it's the son then that actually is beginning to take over.
I don't know. Anyway, let's stay on hot topics. So, are those your questions?
That's the five. That's fine.
All right, cool. Looks like we're done for this week. My fantasy team is still losing 81-24. And that's
because Deion's winning.
Yeah, Deion Branch has yet to catch a pass. Thank you, Deion. But Brian's team lost.
Down by four. I'm down by four, but I got Tom Brady playing.
Do you really?
Yeah, I got Tom Brady.
Oh yeah, you'll win. Yeah, good for you. Brian's gonna win eventually. Anyway, Carl's team. No one cares. How's Carl's team doing?
Carl's winning right now, but he's got Pittsburgh, and the guy he's playing against has Todd Heap.
Oh, so you need...
So if Todd Heap scores...
I'm down.
It's like swapping points.
Okay. Yeah, so good luck with that. Like anyone cares what your team
does. But it's a four-point game right now.
And that's because I'm in first place.
So, anyway...
No, you're not.
By the way, we're talking about different
leagues. Taking over.
So, we're going to let you go for this week. Thanks for tuning in. Tune in for another reason to see what I wear next week.
Call the number.
Call the number. It's on the website. Call the number. Throw in suggestions.
He doesn't remember the number.
It's 235 something 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 something.
612-235-6363.
Yeah. Yeah, so it's like...
It's really simple.
It's like hitting a score on your keypad. Anyway, we'll all be back next week. I'm going to have fun with this. We're going to have new topics. We're not going to throw any, we're not going to throw any nuggets out to you yet. You know, who knows, something may happen in the world of sports that we're going to want to deal with. Something may happen in the world of entertainment that we might want to relate to sports. Who cares? Anyway, log on. Go to Twist. Call in. Email us. Call in. Yeah.
Call us. Give me some questions. Give me one of my five.
Yeah, someone call in or email in, whatever. Give Brian one of his five. You know, Brian does not show us these, honestly, until... You know, we hear from him. So give us something that maybe you think that might set Carl off.
Again.
Dusty Baker. Anyway.
Oh, but, I forgot to mention it. How did the Texas, did they cover the spread?
Yeah.
They did?
Yeah.
It was a late cover, though, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, Texas covers every week. By the way.
And you didn't call in. And you didn't... I thought we were going to have a midweek.
Oh, yeah. I didn't like any of the games. I didn't like any of the games. I still don't like any of the games. I'm in this knockout pool. where you pick one game against the spread every Wednesday morning, USA Today spread. I highlighted 6 games. I took the one game that didn't cover. Thank you, Nebraska.
I told you not to.
Yeah, I know you did, but I already took the game. How do you not take Nebraska versus Oklahoma at
home? Never bet on Nebraska.
1.5 point.
It's like betting on the Packers.
Anyway, just but if you'd have bet on the Packers this week, they're 9-point underdogs. You'd have won. I'm pissed. Anyway,
you just don't bet at all.
Anyway,
that's the way you win.
Click on the Google ads. Vote for us. Get us up there. Let's go. Have fun with it. Log on as often as you want. Hopefully this week I'll get you in a midweek teaser, a couple of games to pick, and you can not bet on them. Don't put money on them. But just
if you can remember the number to call. What is the number again?
It's 612-235-6363.
There you go.
Fair enough.
Anyway, so we'll be back next week. Carl will be with us again, whether you like it or not.
Scary.
Well, you'll be here.
We might put you in a little box over here in the corner.
There's a spare room. We'll throw Carl in that. Maybe get a cage for him, water dish, what have you.
If you guys could do that.
Yeah. So, anyway, log on over and over again. Tell other people about it. We're having fun with this. And, like I said at the beginning of the show,
Donate, too.
But, if you enjoy our show or if you don't enjoy our show, either way, go on to twistshow.com. You know, check them out. East Coast guys, check them out. See what they're all about. Maybe there's something that you know you like about their show that you don't like about ours, or vice versa. You know, it's a big planet out there, and we're all out here just trying to have our fun. You know, I'm not going to retire on this. We're just out here having fun. So, email us, call us, suggestions, what have you, questions, bring it. That's all we got. Take care.
See ya.
Out.
Later.